So I had hoped to speak on Idle Life this morning with somebody from the marketplace, but that might have to be done at a different day.
I think they've closed them.
Hang on. Let me turn on your mic.
Fade me up. There we go. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. Can you hear the marketplace? No, they've been closed down.
No, yeah, but they haven't yet. That's the point. I was hoping
tick, tick, tick.
I was hoping to get somebody from the marketplace to come in and, to be honest, to acknowledge how many years of hard work has gone on in that newspaper, and now it's being closed down by Fairhex because nobody wants to buy it. But that's now an issue for another day because we didn't manage to arrange that interview in time. So instead, I have Thomas in the interview, Thomas L., Thomas L., who lives on the island. And Thomas,
well, that's narrowed it down, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Well, if you didn't live on the island, you probably wouldn't be here. But Thomas is going to Wellington on Monday, is that right?
I'm not actually going to Wellington. We're doing it by teleconference.
Oh, teleconference.
Or phone calls, as we used to call them.
Or phone calls. So what Thomas is doing is submitting to the Select Committee on the Misuse of Drugs Medical Cannabis Amendment Bill. And the issues growing around medical cannabis are huge and worldwide, and countries all over the world, particularly in the sort of more liberal spectrum of political systems, are starting to recognise what cannabis can offer the medical world. And not being an expert in any way in medical cannabis, I'm very interested to know why Thomas is a quick ring in interview, thank you so much, is keen to submit to the Select Committee on this issue.
So I've been on a journey with medical cannabis. I when I first heard about it, probably 20 years ago, my initial response is, what are these guys doing? They're just trying to find an angle to get adult marijuana use legalised.
Potheads with a sore back.
And then as I looked into it, I realised that actually this is something that really works. And there's a history here. It's 5,000 years of medical cannabis use. There's history in China, going back that far.
It wasn't invented in the 60s, was it?
Oh, God, no. No, in the 19th century, it was common. It was part of every doctor's pharmacopoeia, included pot, and not to mention cocaine and opium. And ideally, you'd put all of those things into a nice drink and the patient would have it. And if they didn't get better, they certainly felt better.
Queen Victoria apparently had laudanum on her bedside table.
That's a true story. There's records of that. Yep. Yes.
Oh, my wife saw her in the Isle of Wight, went to one of her holiday homes and saw the bottles on her.
Yeah. So it's a traditional cure. But in the last few years, it has been studied a lot more. The medical cannabis thing really started in California when they had a proposition. But they had a citizens-initiated referendum on medical cannabis, and they voted for it, and they opened various dispensaries, which was a complete disaster when they started. But now they're fairly organised with it, and there's legal outlets all through California, and I think 20-odd other states in America now.
How fascinating.
So two-thirds of America has access to medical cannabis now.
What can you clear up for us, and I'm not asking you to be an expert here in this one-off impromptu interview, but can you clear up for us what's the situation in New Zealand at the moment?
So currently you can be prescribed cannabidiol-based medicines, which are kind of the non-psychoactive part of cannabis, but you have to jump through a lot of hoops with the Ministry of Health to get it. You have to have basically exhausted all the other options.
Well, that stuff doesn't have any psychoactive qualities.
No.
But you still have to jump through hoops.
Yes, and it has an effect,
that makes sense.
Particularly for epilepsy. A friend of mine has a child, he's 21, who has Dravet syndrome, and they've been through, since the child was two, I think, every single anticonvulsant possible. It's given him the mental age of a four-year-old because they've done that much damage to his brain. Nothing works, and now he has CBD every day, and the seizures have almost gone, 90% reduction in seizures.
It's
the only thing that works for this dreadful childhood disease.
It's just awful, isn't it? And I have seen and heard of, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff on the internet, you're not sure if you can trust it or not, but there are some remarkable videos of young children fitting whose fits stop almost.
That's the
almost
one, that's Dravet syndrome, yes.
That's extraordinary.
And you can give them a spray in up the nose, and the seizure will stop as you spray it. It's amazing.
That's just direct contact with whatever's going wrong with the nervous system, and that is just. And New Zealanders struggle to get this medicine.
it's almost impossible at the moment.
So can you help us make a distinction between the non-psychoactive medicines that can be derived from the marijuana plant and the other uses of marijuana for medical purposes? Because there are uses beyond the non-psychoactive CBDs, aren't there? There are.
You're going to get me into this. So there's multiple compounds in cannabis, the primary ones of which are called THC, which you might have heard of if you're in this business, or CBD, which is cannabidiol, which is the inactive one. And the ratio of those two compounds affects how the drug works on you. THC tends to make you more spacey, CBD more sort of levels you out. If you have one without the other, you get THC, you'll get quite a strong effect. If you have CBD without THC, you'll get no effect, you'll get this nice mellow relaxation that you get from it. And so different strains of cannabis that you see tend to have different ratios. That's what makes them different.
Right.
And then there's a whole load of minor chemicals as well, terpenes, and the ratios of those also have an effect. And so you'll find that different strains affect different people and different diseases, and you've kind of got to try all the different things and work out which one is the best for you for a given thing. And
but I guess what I'm trying to get to is there's medical use that isn't in little oils or pills pharmaceutical companies have.
The little pills.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to say is that parts of cannabis are used in a typically clinical place, but there are other parts of cannabis that, I mean, there are medical effects from simply smoking it. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yes.
Right. So what are they like?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question. Smoking cannabis? You know what that's like, Greg.
No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is, what does it, how does it help your health?
Okay. So there are many different diseases that cannabis can help with. Cancer is a common one, where
symptom
a primary effect of cannabis is that it makes you eat, and the medicines that they give you, chemotherapy, makes you very sick. You don't want to eat. You waste away. If you have cannabis, you get your appetite back. It fills you out again. That's pretty useful. It's the same with, and that's how it started in California, because the AIDS patients were all wasting away.
Right.
And so they used to drag them in, feed them, give them stoned, give them some food. Hey, presto, you get a few more years of life out of AIDS. This is the days before the modern drugs that keep you alive.
Yeah.
And so it was a great success in that regard, but the implementation in California in the early days left a little to be desired.
Yes. Yes.
People used to say there's an awful lot of able-bodied young men queued up outside that dispensary.
But you've touched on something there.
And then other people say, well, hang on a minute, all those able-bodied young men are actually back from the war in Iraq or whatever. They've got PTSD, and they look like able-bodied young men, but actually they've got PTSD, which cannabis really helps with, again, another disease.
Yeah, right. And PTSD is real, not just war vets.
PTSD is pretty real, yeah.
And it's not war vets only, there are cannabis uses for PTSD that aren't about chilling out the psychotic soldier from Iraq.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. And there's many diseases.
So Thomas, what's your big message for the Select Committee when you do your teleconference on Monday?
So the message for the Select Committee, there were two medical cannabis bills proposed this year. One was proposed by the Green Party and was quite a liberal bill. And the other one was proposed by the government and has the moderating influence of one of the minor political parties in it, who are in government at the moment and aren't the Green Party.
Influence and they're not the Green Party. New Zealand First isn't really for legalisation, is it?
That's complicated.
Is that what's holding the government
back? That's complicated, because New Zealand First were railing for legalisation, but the person in New Zealand First who was leading that charge left the party in disgrace. And now they've gone anti again. The Greens are for, Labour sit in the middle.
But we can't just talk about for or against. We have to divide.
With a promise from Jacinda that in the first 100 days of government there would be a medical cannabis bill. And so that's what we've got.
Right.
The bill we have is very restrictive. It does give a legal cover to people with terminal diseases, and terminal is defined as someone who's been given less than 12 months to live by a doctor. We think that's much too restrictive. The cannabis should be able to be prescribed for anybody who a doctor thinks it should be useful. It could be useful for so medical
for any of its variety uses.
Varieties, yeah. And at the moment, the current bill, the Ministry of Health want to use there's pre-prepared pills, cannabis pills, if you like, called Sativex, made by an English company.
So that's different to the spray.
Yes.
Right.
The spray is CBD. Sativex is THC and CBD in a pill.
Yeah.
It does work. It's incredibly expensive compared to raw, you know, buying flower or growing your own or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be talking thousands of dollars a month to have a Sativex prescription. Yeah.
It's a weed.
It's been processed, though, into a pill.
Yeah, that's right. Big Pharma really knows how to get involved at the right time, don't they?
They do.
Okay, so your message isn't so much that push ahead and make medical cannabis legal, but actually think more carefully about this.
No, the message is we had a very liberal green bill which got voted down in Parliament.
That's what I mean.
By a fair amount.
So you'd rather they
push this bill. We had the government bill, which was passed unanimously at first reading. So it has good all-party support, but it has a few problems. It doesn't provide cover. It only provides cover to terminal patients.
But that's not enough.
No, it needs to be everybody with a thing. And also, in other countries, typically a support person has legal cover as well, the person who's going and popping down the tinny house and going and getting your 50, or who's growing some plants for you, that you can nominate a name, that person now has legal cover as well. And a scheme like that is needed if you're going to legalise any, you know, sort of raw flower in New Zealand. Otherwise, somebody's housebound with a disease, and there are people like this on the island.
Yeah.
They have no opportunity to go and get it. They can't go. They can't
because
go
even
score it themselves or grow it themselves. Growing weed's not the simplest of tasks.
Yeah, well, I personally wouldn't know, but yeah. Hey, that's so interesting to talk to you. Thank you. This was a lucky interview because Thomas was just coming.
I was coming in to get my coat, which is hanging on the chair over there.
And I grabbed him and said, hey, look, we're short of an interview. But in fact, what good timing.
It's way more interesting than the marketplace, eh?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The adventures of Fairfax.
The adventures of Fairfax. All right, hey, look, let's just talk, before we wrap it up, a little bit more, if you don't mind, about the line between medical and recreational use of cannabis, because we're very keen to talk about medical at the moment. But is it, in fact, a step towards recreational legalisation?
I think the general attitude in New Zealand is softening. The public, the majority of the public want to see legalisation of, we like the term adult use rather than recreational.
Oh, I think that's quite clever.
Because we don't want children using it.
No.
We don't, you know, we want to be consenting adults in their own homes. They're not hurting anybody. The government has promised a referendum on that in the lifetime of this parliament.
Yeah.
And we think they'll probably do it at the next election.
Well, actually, on election day?
Well, that's the cheapest time to do referendums.
Yeah, it is.
The same time as your.
But then you can muck up the purpose of the.
Yeah.
Or focus.
So what happens if you have a referendum and everyone says yes, but vote the government out and we get the national
exactly,
government?
Yeah.
The national government go, well, hey, we didn't promise that.
That seems like.
So it'd be nice if the referendum was a little earlier. But we're not holding our hopes up.
Yeah.
For people who are interested, you can get more information from NORML, the National Organisation for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Just Google NORML New Zealand.
Yeah.
Or you can get more information from the hemp store or up on K Road. They'll tell you all about it. And Medical Cannabis Awareness New Zealand is another good organisation.
Yeah, indeed. On the Parliament website too is the. The closing submissions were in March, but you can learn about the amendment to the Misuse of Drugs Act, which Thomas is going to submit to next week. You can learn about that on the New Zealand Parliament website, Pāre Mata Aotearoa, www.parliament.nz, and if you just Google Medical Cannabis New Zealand and it will come up. Thomas No Surnames, thank you so much for coming in at short notice and enlightening us with what you're doing next week and all the best for it.
Thank you, Greg.